Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. We always love to make news on this show, and this week we did just that. Javier Becerra is now a candidate for governor of California, making that announcement with an exclusive interview with us. This week we will play that full interview to get a lot of perspective in terms of who he is, why he wants to do this, and ask him some of the tough questions that the next governor of this state is going to have to deal with. We also have an Issue Is debate featuring one of our old favorites. Gloria Allred is back in rare form. Her opponent this week, her old friend, radio host John Phillips. So that's a lot of fun. Look forward to that. But let's start with Javier Becerra, who joins us this week. After months of speculation whether he would run for governor, we remember he was a member of Congress for a couple decades, was the chair of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, a chair of the Democratic House Caucus, then became the Attorney General of California after Jerry Brown appointed him to that role, got elected to that role on his own, then was appointed as the Secretary of Health and Human Services by President Biden and served for the entire Biden administration, just left that role when the administration left in January, and is now coming home to run for governor. So here is that interview, starting with that announcement.
And for the past several months, there have been rumors that Becerra would run for governor of California. So we like to make news here. Javier Becerra, are you running for governor of California?
Alex, all goes well, I will be the next governor of our great state.
So you are running for governor.
I have decided.
And we appreciate you making that announcement here on The Issue Is. So the big question is, why?
Well, I think you showed in that reel one of the reasons why. It's I've been blessed to have an opportunity to do things that my parents never got to. My father was a construction worker. My mother was a clerical worker, both immigrants. But they worked really hard. And somehow they figured out how to buy a house, send four kids to college or the military, and then retire with peace of mind. Can a construction worker and a clerical worker today do that? I don't know. And I'm not interested in watching, during our watch, that our families can no longer live that California dream. So I'm in mostly for that. But now I definitely got to get in. Over these last 2 months as I thought about it, I definitely have to get in. Now that I'm seeing what's going on in Washington, D.C., that can't stand. You cannot continue to see the erosion of all the work that was done to lift up this country. All those people that are being fired are not bad. All those programs that they're eliminating were not bad. Meals on Wheels is a good program for seniors. Why? What does Elon Musk have against Meals on Wheels?
Mm. All right, well, let's talk about Washington in a moment, but let's start by talking about Sacramento. You're basically saying that it's too expensive to live in California for a lot of people, right? That housing affordability,
it is.
All the rest of that. But whose fault is that? Because Democrats have had a supermajority in Sacramento for decades now, run every statewide office. Isn't that the Democrats' fault?
Well, it's a growing issue. We've had Republican governors as well.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger was elected in 2006. Yeah,
I guarantee you, homes in California in 2006 were too expensive back then.
I know, but it's gone up a lot in the last 20 years.
We have not tackled it the way we should. And I think principally the reason we have this issue in California on prices is because we haven't built enough. And that means it's a tight market. Everyone still wants to come to California. People may be leaving, but there are a whole bunch of people who would love to be able to live in California.
But from a policy perspective, what specific change are you proposing that would be different than the status quo right now that would make a difference and make prices less in California?
Yeah, I can tell you that status quo, business as usual, is not on California voters' mind as the thing to do. And so I think all of us are going to be talking change, but here's what I would do. I would take the experience I had having to lead this country at Department of Health and Human Services out of a pandemic, a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic, having to negotiate for the first time in our history the lower prices for prescription drugs of some of the most expensive drugs that our seniors on Medicare program have to use. I would say you need to bring the problem right to the table with the best experts there. You scrub it. And then whatever is left, whatever's clean and survives, That's what you do. And we've not been willing to do that because of all the politics, all the old ways of doing things. We get caught up in this knee-jerk reaction that we can't do it that way. Time to change.
But is there a specific policy change that you would propose to make a difference on some of these affordability issues?
I think so. Housing development. I think everyone agrees we don't build enough. It's not enough to say, okay, we all agree we don't build enough and then not do anything about it. Okay, if we all agree, then everyone from all sides of this sit down, scrub it, because this is what I had to do with COVID. This is what I had to do when we were trying to get rid of monkeypox, mpox. Mm-hmm. This is what I had to do when we were figuring out what prices to negotiate on the drugs. You figure out where we could go and then you go. Mm-hmm. And you just say, damn the torpedoes, we gotta go.
Let's talk about your old job, Health and Human Services. You've been replaced by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's doing things very differently than you, looking to get rid of 10,000 employees from the department. Thousands have already left, some of them protesting what he's doing. What is the real world impact of how that actually impacts Californians, what's happening right now in HHS?
So remember that when COVID hit America, most Americans didn't realize it. And it wasn't for months that we finally started taking action. Some of these health impacts won't be felt for months, mm-hmm. but they're gonna hit. When you stop doing that cancer research, guess what? That family that's relying on that new innovative treatment won't see it. Months can mean a lifetime for someone who's suffering from cancer. You're gonna see this. When you start to reduce the number of health clinics that we have throughout the country, remember, community health clinics vaccinated tens of millions of people that couldn't get to their own doctor because they didn't have one, mm-hmm. or didn't think it could afford to go to a hospital. You will start to see the effects. Unfortunately, most people won't see them right away, and that's why it's okay. It seems okay that these cuts, these changes are being made, but I guarantee you, they will have an impact.
And you'll probably see them firsthand as well, because your wife is working in the healthcare industry at UC Davis, seeing patients, and very much a part of this. How has she sort of shaped the way that you see these issues?
The residents that she teaches, she's a teaching physician at UC Davis Medical Center. The residents who are in training, who've graduated from medical school, are waiting to be full-bred doctors. Some of them aren't gonna make it in because the slots for them won't be there. That means that it's impacting that future doctor, but it's impacting all the patients that future doctor would have been treating. It's having a direct impact on the healthcare system. Talk to hospitals that aren't sure where to make investments today because they don't know what's going to be around.
You said that part of the reason you want to run for governor is to push back against what's happening in Washington. How do you see yourself doing that as governor?
Well, having served in Congress, having served in the cabinet of an administration, having served as Attorney General in California and taken on a federal administration, I can see it from all those angles. And what I believe we can do is work with the administration in Washington, D.C., when they're gonna partner with us, when we're gonna use our taxpayer dollars that we're sending. Remember, California sends more taxpayer dollars to the federal treasury than any other state.
Yep.
We should get our fair share back. Give us our fair share back, we're gonna be in pretty good shape. But if you don't, then you're ready for a fight.
We are the number one donor state, in which a lot of people forget.
Yes.
The reason that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the Health and Human Services Secretary is because the Democrats lost the White House and the Senate, and there was really no way for Democrats to push back against his nomination. Why do you think that is? Why do you think Kamala Harris lost?
You know, it's a tough circumstance. I was out there campaigning for our ticket for several months, trying to help out. Look, there's pent-up frustration with a lot of voters. There is a sense that we're not doing enough. We, meaning government, is not doing enough for everyone who's out there working every day, but seems to be taking one step forward but two steps backward. It goes back to what I said before. How is it that my parents, a construction worker who with a sixth grade education and a clerical worker who came to this country when she was 18 from Mexico, could afford to buy a house? Mm-hmm. Today, even two professionals with college degrees might not be able to afford a house.
So you've seen that frustration out there. You know, Kamala Harris is now considering running for governor. Some of the other candidates have said that if she gets in, they're out. What about you? If Kamala Harris runs for governor, do you stay in the race?
So as I said, I took a couple of months to talk to a lot of folks, to go through these thoughts, certainly consulted with the most important person, my wife. And this is what I can tell you. It makes no difference to me who's in or not. I'm in. Yeah. That's it. I'm in.
Have you talked to Kamala Harris about this?
I've not spoken to the vice president since probably January.
Okay. Now, one of the challenges she had when she was running was she went on The View and they asked her the question, how would you be different than President Biden? And she didn't really have an answer. So I want to ask you the same question about Governor Newsom. If you become governor, how would you be different than Governor Newsom?
Well, first, and I think it's always important to say, anyone who takes on a public service challenge like governor, president, secretary, I applaud them because public service is to me a noble, noble job. What I will tell you is this. I can tell you what my experiences would do, what I would do with them, and what I would tell you is this. I'm not going to wait. I wasn't given the room to wait on COVID. We had to figure out what the vaccine would be, whether we had to change it to deal with the mutations and so forth. I'm not going to wait. So what I'm going to do, though, as I said, I'm going to bring the best experts into a room and ask them, on this housing crisis, how do we develop more housing? Okay, we scrub it, and then we move. But once the decision is made, you move, and I don't care what special interests you are, we're moving.
Yeah. So there's not a specific policy. It's basically just we're going to do things differently.
We're going to move. We're going to do them faster. We're not going to wait. You got to execute. I think that's one thing you had. We got to build, and we have to execute.
A couple hot topics in the news in Sacramento this week. Just want to get your take on them. Obviously, you understand healthcare and health insurance as well as anybody based off of what you did.
Yeah.
In Sacramento, the governor put forward the idea that we're going to do health care for undocumented people.
Yes.
It has been very expensive and over budget of what was expected, billions of dollars over budget. Do you think that that is a program that is worth keeping up, and do you think it's something California can afford right now?
Yeah, and Alex, I think you've touched on two really important policies, health care, immigration. Mm-hmm. Healthcare, the state can do a whole lot about because that's in our province. The U.S. Constitution leaves that to every state. Immigration, federal government, we can't control that. Healthcare, you got to cut the price of just going to a doctor, making it to a hospital. We've got to make that happen because if we don't, we're still going to pay because if you don't have insurance, guess what? Taxpayers end up paying for you when you go to the emergency room. Do I believe that everyone in the state of California should have access to the healthcare they need? I do. Do I believe that the program that the governor implemented that would include undocumented immigrants who are working, paying taxes, I believe we should eventually get there. Can we afford to do it? That's where a governor has to decide. That's where you bring everybody in, you scrub it. If we can afford it, we do it. If we can't afford it, we have to be realistic. If we can't afford it, how do we do it? But here's the real rub. We should have had a fix to the immigration system a long time ago, mm-hmm. so we wouldn't have to deal with this. But I'm not about to tell a construction worker like my dad, you don't get access to health care. Even though you work hard every day, you get up with the sun, you build this country, and you're not going to have access to health care. No, I'm going to say we're going to fight to get the federal government, to Congress to get off its duff and get comprehensive immigration reform done.
Although we know this administration is not going to be paying for health care for undocumented people anytime soon.
You know, they are paying for it because at the end of the day, taxpayers have to pay because when you go to the emergency room, by law, you have to pay. Whether they want to realize it or not, we're paying for it.
So it sounds like you would be open to the idea of potentially moving on that depending on the costs and where the budget is.
But when you do the scrub, Alex, this is where it's important. When you do the scrub, if you don't have the dollars to do it, How do you do it? You need the money. California needs a balanced budget.
Yeah.
You scrub it. If you find a way, you do it and don't delay.
Right.
But if you scrub it and you can't figure out how to do it, then that's the reality. That's the choices we have.
Another issue that was literally being discussed this week in Sacramento is this idea of sports and trans athletes, those that are born biological male, should they be allowed to compete in female sports? The governor said that concept is unfair. What say you?
I say there are probably more lightning strikes that hit people than there are transgender athletes who are trying to play in women's sports. So this has been blown way out of proportion. But I will say this. You want to play a sport? What does your school or what does the athletic program or the athletic body say? They're the ones that govern. If they decide you should play, then I'm not going to get in the way. If they say you shouldn't play, then you don't have a right under the Constitution to play. But I will tell you this. if you're transgender in California, we're going to protect your rights, your rights. I'm not about to go backwards on protecting people's rights. I believe diversity is a strength, and I'm not interested in having anyone attacked simply because of who they are. You want to bully someone because of who they are, then you're going to have problems with me because I'm going to defend you. I did that when I was Attorney General of California. I would do it again as governor. But again, I don't decide if someone will play in a sport. The athletic body does. And if they say no, that's fine. That's their decision.
But do you think they fundamentally have a right to play in that sport?
I think every human being has a fundamental right to try to be the best they can be. That doesn't mean I get to put on an astronaut suit and tell them, hey, I want to go to the moon because I have this great idea. I would love to go to the moon.
What about high-speed rail? You know, obviously that program has also been expensive.
Yeah.
And there's questions about the future of that program. Federal government's trying to strip away money right now.
Right.
It seems like we're at a real inflection point on where we go. What would you like to see happen as governor?
I'm going to build. I mean, I come from my family history is watching my dad built our home that I grew up in. He's a builder. I'm going to be a builder. That's the one thing I want to be as a governor. I want to build. So high-speed rail, it's outrageous what it's costing so far. But other countries have done it. Why shouldn't we? Why should our people have the ability to take transport, whether on the ground or in the air, so they can afford it? We should build high-speed rail, scrub it.
Mm-hmm.
If it pans out, we're doing it. And I believe we can do it.
You think that you see a future for that program?
I see a future for high-speed rail. I don't see a future for cost overruns in the tens of billions of dollars.
Right, which is what we've been seeing for many years on that front.
So scrub it. Yeah. And by the way, if after you scrub it, you say, we can't afford it, okay, we don't do it. But that's not where I am. I'm in the building mode.
So the governor's race is a crowded field, right? And you obviously have an incredible resume, but there's a lot of people in that race. What do you see as your lane? What do you see as your place in the race?
Builder. I think as Attorney General for our state, I proved protector of the values of the people who've made us the economic engine of the country, the fifth largest economy in the world. And someone who knows how to execute. If you can execute, again, you scrub and then you execute, you're going to go places, you're going to get things done. I think what happens too often in politics and policymaking is we bog down. Take immigration reform. It's decades since we've seen immigration reform.
Yeah,
why? Everyone knows we got to resolve the issue of the long-term immigrant who's been here without documents, who pay taxes and the rest. I think everyone's upset because they saw so many people cross the border recently. But why should a guy who's been working for 25 years, take my dad, why should he pay the penalty because somebody came across the border without documents recently and people are saying, hey, it looks like they're getting too much help. My dad never asked for a penny. Mm-hmm. He never got a penny he never had to seek welfare and all the rest. I want to make sure that we can build. We need the workforce to make that happen. My dad was a farm worker when he first started working. We will need people to pick those crops because we are the breadbasket for the world. That should not change. We just got to do it the right way.
And sort of lastly on this particular topic, so you're elected governor 4 years from now. What's the vision of how California is different?
A Californian should be able to live close to where they work. A Californian should be able to have their kids go to a good school and walk through safe neighborhoods. A Californian should know that if they're going on the internet, their privacy will be protected.
Mm-hmm.
A Californian will know that if they're going to pay taxes to the federal government, no one's going to rip them off and keep them in Washington, D.C.
This is an introduction for a lot of people to you and to your background, even though you've been in public life for 3 decades. There's some people that are just learning your story now.
Yes.
We've talked about you as the son. We've talked to you as a husband. But let's talk to you about being a father, too.
Yeah.
I know you're the father of 3 daughters. How has that shaped your worldview and shaped the man that you are?
You realize how much of what you do in your life isn't about you or your generation. It's about what you're doing for them.
Mm.
I know that my parents, in fact, my mom said to me, after she blessed me and sent me off, she said, we never expected that you'd get to be where you are. We're so very proud. That's what every parent wants to say about their kids. And I know I can say that about my three daughters. I went from one generation looking back where my father got to not farther than the sixth grade because he had to start working as the oldest of eight kids, to three daughters who've gone to some of the best universities in the world. It's a story that is going to help California stay strong. It's a story that should generate always, and it is the California dream. It is time to fight for the California dream. California should continue rising. There is no right reason why it shouldn't. And if we have people like my daughters, it will rise.
We do something called personal issues on this show, which is fun. 30 seconds, rapid fire to get to know your cultural favorites.
Yes.
So this is the first thing that comes to mind, rapid fire to get to know what you're into. So what's your favorite TV show?
Favorite TV show? If I get to watch TV these days, it's mostly sports. So I'll say right now, March Madness, because in fact, women's March Madness.
Yeah. Favorite movie?
Interstellar.
That's a good one.
I still try to figure everything out about that.
Favorite book?
Favorite book? Oh gosh. There's a book called Rain of Gold that I love. Victor Villaseñor. It's about a long history of a family from Mexico.
Favorite band or musician?
Oh gosh, one? Oh gosh, I could tell you I love Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. I can tell
that's
you.
That's a good one.
I mean, I go back, I listen, you should see my playlist. I have Mexican music along with R&B, some of the, Adele's great. I mean, it's.
Yeah. Hello, there we go. And finally, who is your role model?
As corny as it sounds, my wife.
Why is that?
She taught me how to bury my dad. Mm. I watched as she and her seven siblings watched their parents begin to go. Her dad was essentially in a bed for about 3 years of his final years of life. Never once did he go to a nursing home. Never once did he leave the house. He always had care from his children. Mother, same thing. The last that she was about 95. Kids, grandkids, great-grandkids were at the home a few days before she passed saying goodbye to her. I looked at that and I said, when my parents go, that's what they're going to see. They're going to die in their home with their family. Mm. My dad died in my home. Mm. I have learned a great deal from her, but tolerance is probably one of her greatest virtues because she has allowed me to try to do these things, and she's always been by my side.
And finally, do you ever think about what that little kid growing up in Sacramento would think about the fact that you grew up to go to Stanford, to be in Congress, to be Attorney General in the cabinet, and now a candidate for governor?
Alex, you got to understand, I applied to Stanford without ever knowing where Stanford was. Mm. I grew up in Sacramento, born and raised in Sacramento. Stanford's 2 hours away. I applied to one school, UC Davis, because I'd gone to a summer program during high school and they said, keep up your grades, you might be able to get into this school at Davis. So I applied to Davis and that was it. Until one of my friends was about to throw something away. I said, what is it? And he said, it was an application, but I think we hadn't scored well on an exam. So I said, wait, don't throw it away. I filled it out. It was for Stanford, got in. I didn't know where Stanford was till the day I got there. Mm. So I used to say, I'm a slow learner. No, I'm not a slow learner. I'm a late learner because I never had those experiences. Mm-hmm. And what I will tell you is that if you got good family and a great state, you can go a long ways.
Hmm. And potentially be the next governor of California.
We'll see.
A journey that would start right here on The Issue Is.
Right here with you, where news is made.
Thank you very much for giving us your first interview. Absolutely. Really appreciate the perspective.
Our thanks to Javier Becerra for, again, making news with us. Now, two of our friends and our favorites, Gloria Allred and John Phillips, here for a bit of an Issue Is debate. We will talk about Javier Becerra and the governor's race in a minute, but we start with talking about President Trump. Here's some sound of the president this week.
April 2nd, 2025 will forever be remembered as the day American industry was reborn.
That is President Trump discussing his tariffs plan, which initially caused panic selling in the U.S. stock market. Joining us to talk about this and more is our panel. Look at this panel. Gloria Allred is a proud Democrat, one of the most successful and famous attorneys in the country. She's perhaps best known for her work representing women who have been the victims of various crimes. John Phillips is a conservative commentator, host of The John Phillips Show, which airs live on KABC Radio in Los Angeles weekdays from 12 to 3. Starting this week, The show is also now airing live on 810 KSFO in San Francisco. John, congrats on the show. Very
Thank
cool.
Thank you very much.
And Gloria, good to have you back.
Thank
you. Our most frequent guest. We missed you.
Thank you, Alex.
All right, so let's get started. Trump tariffs, big news impacting a lot of people's wallets this week. Your assessment of what's going on with President Trump right now?
Can you say catastrophe and disaster? Don't just believe me, obviously. Look at the stock market. Everything is falling. People have lost a lot of money in their 401ks and elsewhere. There are people already being laid off from their jobs. So the cost is great. Not to mention the prices are going up in the future, and not just the short term, for a long period of time. So this is a disaster. It's not what he promised. It's not what people voted for.
Well, he did promise tariffs, right? He's been talking about tariffs for 40 years.
Yeah, but the tariffs, which of course are really a sales tax and are going to be paid by the consumer, and already prices for cars are going to go up, prices for toys are going to go up, prices for groceries are going to go sky high. And that's all because of tariffs, which are really a tax. But the tariffs that he's putting on, Alex, are not even the kind of tariffs that he promised. This is a meat axe approach. This is not the scalpel that he said he was going to do, where he looks at a country and says, oh, they're charging us a 20% tariff. We're going to charge them a 20% tariff. Nothing to do with that. These are blanket tariffs of certain amounts. He's even putting a tariff on an island where there are only penguins. This is not a thought out approach, and this is going to hurt working people. This is going to hurt consumers. And so I saw his commerce secretary today say, oh, we just have to trust Trump. I'm not about trusting Trump. He has a record of bankruptcies. He has a record of being sued for fraud. He is not the businessman that he sold himself to be. And so, no, I'm not going to trust him. I'm going to trust the American people, and we are going to fight back against Trump.
John, I think you have a different view.
Yeah, well, even though Donald Trump came in and replaced Joe Biden, it's really not a first term for him. This is his second term. He is now a lame duck. He never has to face the voters again. And with that, he has certain liberties where he can tackle big problems. He can tackle the trade deficit. He can tackle immigration. He can tackle entitlement reform and all the things that DOGE is working on.
Oh, really?
And when you work on these long-term projects, you don't have to worry about these short-term metrics that politicians are usually obsessed with. You don't have to look at the polls. You don't have to look at the stock market. And if he is successful with this, if he can fix one of these big problems, then it's worth it, and that's going to go down in the history books as him doing something that very few people could do or have done in the past.
But do you think, but he doesn't, but the rest of the Republicans in the House and the Senate, they do. And if we see the stock market continuing to slide, if we see prices going up, I mean, that hurts American people in a way that even if you're not following politics, it's a big thing, right?
Sure. And I'm sure Republicans in Congress are very worried about all of those things. But Donald Trump is the president, and he's looking at the big picture. He's looking at the long term. And if he can fix immigration or he can fix Social Security or one of those things, then it's all worth it.
You think this tariff thing is a good idea?
Yeah.
Why?
Because if you look at what happened during COVID, how the United States didn't manufacture a lot of the PPE, a lot of the items that we needed, a lot of the drugs, in fact, came from places like China. It became a national security thing where you have to be able to create different items that you're going to need in a moment of crisis. Otherwise, you're going to be dependent on other people, and those other people may not be your friends.
Gloria, your thoughts as we now have this global market.
Yeah, well, first of all, we are very dependent on others, and others are very dependent on us. And we had a really good economy coming in here, John, in January, which he is now destroying, going down on the economy. By the way, you mentioned, oh, he's a lame duck. Check with him. He just said he wants a third term, which, by the way, is prohibited by the Constitution, 22nd Amendment, and also the 12th Amendment. But moving along from that, yeah, he's in power. What happened to Congress? What happened to the Republicans in Congress? There are only four senators, but at least that's four, who oppose his tariffs because they know it's going to hurt their states. And a lot of them are very worried, the Republicans. It's not what they thought he was going to do. But, you know, a lot of them are cult followers, and so they're afraid to say anything because they don't want to raise their hand. You know why? Because it's all about running again.
Well,
and they're afraid that he won't support them next time. But you know what? His record is going to hurt them. And so they better stand in line and speak their truth. Otherwise, we see what's happening at the town halls throughout the country. People do not like it. They do not like Social Security offices being cut. They know there are going to be cuts in Social Security, despite the fact that he said there won't be. He says at the same time, people have to travel more than 100 miles, older people, people who have disabilities, just to stand in line to identify themselves and explain what their Social Security problem is and why they're not getting their checks or why they should. That is wrong. It is wrong to hurt the American people.
All right, let's talk about his record. Is the border secure now?
Oh, is the border secure?
Is it?
Talk about his record. You know, this political stunt.
The answer is yes.
Are you happy with what's happened with the border?
This political stunt of deporting people to a different country without giving them due process and making mistakes in the process. How would you like to have somebody come into your home, ICE, take you out? You don't have a chance to say, wait, I'm an American citizen. I'm a radio talk show host. Don't take me. I'm not a gang member. They just take you out, take you to a different country, not even the country you came from, shave your head, put you in a prison with thousands of other people. And you don't have a chance to say boo to them.
How about border crossings?
How about border crossings? How about changing the
they
subject
fell off a cliff.
From the fact that, by the way, you talked about national security?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I guess you don't want to talk about the Signalgate scandal. You don't want to talk about people in national security talking on Signal, talking on Gmail, and not for the first time, avoiding and ignoring national security. Probably Russia and other countries, China, are listening because they can on those devices. These people are incompetent. These people are intentionally ignoring the security we've had and hurting our country.
John. So that's a long way to get there, but yes, the border is secure.
The border is not secure yet.
Well, we've seen a 96% drop off on border crossing. That's a good thing, right?
Okay, well, you know, and some of these people, by the way, who are being taken out, you know, they're barbers, they're fathers. There's no criminal history here.
Yeah.
This is a stunt, and, you know, we all want a secure border, but we also
no, we
want,
don't. Joe Biden didn't.
Well, Joe Biden did, and
Joe Biden
did
failed.
Reduce. No, and Joe Biden did reduce a lot of the border crossings. He just doesn't get credit for it, and he doesn't grandstand about it like Trump does.
Okay. I mean, objectively, it is true that Donald Trump has had fewer border crossings than Joe Biden, at least so far.
The only person, I wouldn't mind if he crossed the border and went somewhere else instead of helping, you know, hurting the United States.
We could make this about immigration, but let's stay on the news of this week. Elon Musk news that he may be soon on the way out, which was kind of the original plan anyways, for him to stay for 120 days as a special government employee.
Oh, really?
You think not?
Well, come on. He lost big time. His candidate
He gave
Wisconsin,
a lot of money for Wisconsin for this Supreme
Talk
Court
about
decision.
Millions.
Supreme Court Justice, who ended up, the Democratic choice ended up winning after Elon Musk spent record sums there.
Susan Crawford, that's her name. He lost to a woman. Trump, get used to it, because women are becoming very empowered in this country.
Although Trump has beaten two women in for the White
House. Well, he got elected, and that is a big loss for us.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see. Kamala Harris may end up running for governor, but we'll talk about that a little later.
Yeah.
All I can say is, you know, Musk lost. He can't put a lipstick on a pig. He can't say that he won in any way.
Yeah.
He went there with his cheese head, looking like a fool. And, you know, Wisconsin voters decided Wisconsin is not for sale.
Yeah.
And they voted for Susan Crawford.
John, your thoughts on Elon Musk?
Yeah, I love the fact that the guy who is the richest man on planet Earth, who is changing the world that we live in every single day, could come up with cures for all of these diseases, is regarded as an idiot by the people who nominated Kamala Harris to be president of the United States. What he is doing in the United States government right now is something that should have been done a long time ago. The waste, fraud, and abuse that exists in our government has been there since the administrative state was born, and no one has been able to successfully tackle that. It
and
is
neither
true.
Has he.
If you care about the people who are taking Social Security, if you care about the people on Medicare, you have to make sure that those programs are solvent. Mm-hmm. And the people who claim to care about them, the Democrats, really fundamentally care about the bureaucracy that administers them, and they don't care about the people who receive the benefits.
How do you know that's true?
What Trump, because that's how they act. What Trump
because
and
he
Musk
said
are
so,
doing,
that's why.
What Trump and Musk are doing now is they are protecting those programs for these people who need them and depend on them.
Let me just say, this is, with all due respect, a bunch of nonsense. Because I'll tell you why. Because Democrats have always said, everybody, every politician everywhere says, we're against fraud, waste, and abuse. Meanwhile, Musk, when he put up the figures of how much fraud, waste, and abuse he'd cut, it turned out he had to take them down because it was a complete lie, it was false, and they didn't put them back up again because they were never true in the first place.
I mean, Democrats, do you think it's possible that Musk maybe could have used a little bit more of a scalpel in going after some of this?
Democrats say they care about waste, fraud, and abuse, but Saddam Hussein said he won the Gulf War. Crazy people think crazy things. I don't know what to say about
that. Well, Trump thought he won an election that he didn't win, too, so come on.
Good point there. Touche. We saw this week Cory Booker going on the Senate floor, speaking for 25 hours, breaking the record that segregation is racist Strom Thurmond had in trying to segregate the country. Cory Booker pushing back on the Trump policies. A lot of folks on the online left liked what Cory Booker was doing. The question, though, that a lot of Democrats have struggled with is, how do you fight back? What's the best approach? And we've seen a lot so far fail to kind of come up with an approach. What do you think is the smart way that Democrats fight back?
I liked what Governor Moore of Maryland said, which is show the results. Hmm. Show the results that whether it's a governor, congressperson, senator, whatever, that they have achieved. Mm-hmm. Because I think those are the most important things that people need to see. Policy is fine. It's important to talk about policy. It's talk about objectives. But to show how you've been successful, what you have done, and compare that to what this administration is doing or what's happening in their own states, I think that's the best way to approach it. But people need to be in the streets, as they are, when these horrible cuts are being made in the jobs of veterans, in the jobs of healthcare workers, and the jobs of those who protect us in the CDC and everywhere else. We need to continue to be heard in the streets, in the courts, through lawsuits, and everywhere else.
What do you think is the most effective way?
Well, first of all, he went 25 hours without going to the bathroom. I fly to Las Vegas and sit in an aisle seat. I get up five times. So I don't know how in the world he was able to do that.
I came here especially to hear about your toilet habits. to fill my expectations. I just want to say.
Well, wait a minute.
You know, it reminds me when I started practicing law and a judge said to me, oh, well, you know, what are we going to do? Talk about toilets, but any
there
event.
You go.
Well, the Democratic,
moving along, let me just say,
the Democratic Party is right now a boiling cauldron of rage, and all of these politicians are trying to find ways to reflect that rage. Now, what many of them are doing right now, which is totally disingenuous because they're not vulgar in general, is they're using a lot of profanity. They're cursing on Twitter. They're cursing in interviews. They're cursing in the Senate. They're cursing all over the place, and it's not authentic. But they think that their people demand that, so that's how they show that they really care and they're really fighting.
You know, the way that people show they care is to get out there in the streets with a sign. There are grandmothers out there in the street about Social Security. There are young people. I see toddlers being pushed by their daddies. They're people who never protested in their life before. They're out there, and they have a reason to be out there. They want to be out there. Nobody's forcing them to, and nobody's paying them to, because they know what's happening to our democracy. They know that authoritarianism is taking place in our country. Lawyers are being attacked. Judges are being attacked. I know I've been attacked, and it's all part of the retaliation.
Well, why is the Democratic Party at a record unpopularity level right
now? It doesn't matter about the Democratic Party. It doesn't matter about the polls. We hear the people speaking. Yeah. We hear what the people want. And by the way, you can't ignore Wisconsin. That was not an accident of fate. That was a big fight, and the Democrats won that fight in Wisconsin. You're going to see more in the future. Watch out for the midterms, because they're only, what, less than 18 months away?
Yeah.
We are going to take the House, and we're going to show you you're wrong.
Okay, we'll have to see. But some of those polls are concerning, I think, if you're a Democrat.
You need to bring the problem right to the table with the best experts there. You scrub it, and then whatever is left, whatever's clean and survives, that's what you do.
That's Javier Becerra giving the first TV interview of his campaign to The Issue Is. A few weeks back, Katie Porter gave us the first TV interview of her campaign. Let's talk more about the governor's race now with our panel, Gloria Allred and John Phillips. John, I know you've been following this closely on your show, The John Phillips Show, and often playing our interviews on the show. Your thoughts on the race, specifically the Becerra interview?
Well, the way he kept talking about wanting to scrub things, I thought he was talking about Karen Bass's text messages there for a little bit. He just went on and on and on. You tried your best. You put in a yeoman's effort. That interview was embarrassing for him. He didn't answer any of your questions, and he didn't answer any of your questions because he doesn't have any of the answers that California needs right now. You look at the crisis that the state is in right now, whether it's insurance, whether it is homelessness, whether it's the budget, whether it's making sure that we have the water to fight the fires that we know we're going to have to deal with in the future. And it's not just Javier Becerra, who came from the Biden administration, despite the fact that Nancy Pelosi didn't want him there. It's Katie Porter, who you had on this program, Kamala Harris, who only seemed to care about federal issues. Well, if you care about federal issues, go run for Congress. Go do something in the federal government.
Well,
California has a lot of problems. Yeah. And the last thing we need is another absentee landlord governor.
Mm. Your thoughts on Becerra and the race so far?
I know it's shocking, but I don't agree with him. Let me just say, I think Becerra is a very good candidate. I think Katie Porter is a very good candidate. Despite what John said, Kamala Harris has not yet announced that she's running for governor. Don't know if she will. But we have what we call a really good bench of candidates. Yeah. And usually elected officials or people who want to be elected officials don't talk about the specifics in the beginning. They talk about their values. They're introducing themselves to the public. Republicans do the same thing. Mm. And independents do the same thing. So they talk about their narrative, where they came from, what they care about, who they are, so people get to know them. But later, they'll get into the specifics. They have to. And don't be surprised if they start that way. He's got a great background, Becerra. I mean, having been a congressperson, you didn't even mention, he grew up in California. He was an attorney general in California. And now he hopes to be governor. Mm-hmm. And he's been a leader in the Democratic Party. And Katie Porter is an excellent candidate as
well. Do you have a favorite candidate?
I don't, because I don't endorse in primaries. But I can say, if I thought somebody was unqualified, I would certainly say that.
Do you want Kamala Harris to run?
I always think it's great to have a competition and to have choices. I like the voters to have choices.
What do you think of Kamala's calculus right now?
She doesn't want to go down as a loser. And right now, she is a loser. She lost to Donald Trump, so Donald Trump now has a second term. And she's looking for a consolation prize. Well, guess what? Being governor of California is not a year's supply of turtle wax. We don't need someone who's looking to build their resume. We need someone who has the answers to the problems that face California. And right now, we haven't seen it from any of these people.
Yeah. Well, so, John, did you call Trump a loser when he lost the 2020 election? Did you say, oh, he's a big loser, don't run again? I don't think I heard that. Did I miss hearing that?
I call him a two-term president.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. And I know you're especially impressed by Matt Mahan, the mayor of San Jose. You think he might run?
Well, he's a Democrat who is a Democrat Hussein, which you don't see often in the state. And he is a guy who is tackling the homeless issue in San Jose head on. He was also one of the most vocal Democratic supporters of Proposition 36, which put California on track to finally be in a place where we don't have to buy shampoo behind bulletproof glass anymore. And because all of these other candidates are focusing on these issues that have nothing to do with the office that they're running for, what they're doing is they're creating a lane for someone, a Democrat in this case, Matt Mahan, to run on California subjects, on state issues where he has credibility. And unlike the rest of these buffoons, he has credibility on these issues. He's done it in San Jose, and I think he could be a very interesting candidate in that race.
John, while you're worried about shampoo and whether you get it up under the glass, outside of the glass, I don't know. You know, there are people who have a lot of federal experience, which is important to bring to California. Case in point, the fires, the Pacific Palisade fires, the Alton fires. We need help from the federal government. We need it big time. And so it's important for people to know how to get that help from the federal government, especially now that Trump is in charge. There are a lot of other issues, too, that we need help on in California. So these Californians who are going to run for governor need to bring that background to California.
Well, that's great, but if they don't do something about the insurance crisis, we're not going to be able to buy insurance from any credible company.
Of course they will. That's really
They haven't.
Important. Well, they haven't been elected governor yet.
Well, many of them are in elected office now. You have a lieutenant governor who's running. You have a former controller who's running. You have people who were leaders in the state legislature who are running.
Yes.
They could have done something
I
about it.
I should have
it.
Given credit to Elena, who is our lieutenant governor, yeah. who is also running.
Eleni Kounoulakis. Well, we could go on forever.
Our thanks to Gloria Allred and John Phillips and everyone involved with the issue as this week. And a congrats to our team. A special shout out to our editor and executive producer, Debbie Kim, who represented the Issue Is team this week at the Golden Mike Awards. And the Issue Is won the Golden Mike. Yes, we did, which was very, very exciting. And for Best Political Affairs Show, it was for an episode we did with Father Greg Boyle talking about all that he has done to create Homeboy Industries, create the largest gang intervention program in the country. Really proud of that show. That is one of our past podcasts. If you want to go back and listen to it, or you can check it out at youtube.com/AlexMichelson. Hope you'll connect with us in social media. The Issue Is show.com is our website. I'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, I'm Alex Michelson. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week.